Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You know, the contract extensions that we talk the most about have so much to do with Kyle Tucker and Pete Crow Armstrong. But what about the extension for the guy that could be deciding those contract extensions? Because if you've been enjoying how this team has been performing, Jed Hoyer has built it.
Rome wasn't built in a day.
I understand it's a full scouting department. I understand you've got Carter Harkins. I understand that you've got Craig Counsell. But at the top of all of that is Jed Hoyer.
Come on.
Jed took over for Theo Epstein back in November of 2020. That's a tough year for spending your owner's money anywhere in the country when you're talking about the year of 2020. But I think all things considered, with as long as Hoyer's been a baseball man, not convinced that there's a better option out there.
Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And we are off and running on a Monday. Hi there, everybody. Hope it's been a great day for you. We are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Now, the Cubs, they are off tonight, your first place Cubs. You will have to wait until tomorrow for them to get back to action, but don't worry. As you heard in the open there, yes, we will be talking about the Cubs, Jed Hoyer, and much, much more to get to over the next 3 hours. Coming up on the show today, Mike Golic Jr. will join us at 6:25. We will talk NFL and Bears with him. 7 o'clock from the Marquee Sports Network, Alex Cohen will join us. We'll talk some Cubs with him. And then Chris Emma, we will talk some Bears. We will dive into what Emma saw throughout this offseason. We got a bit of a six-week hangout until we get back to training camp and for the Bears. But Chris Emma will join us coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. As I mentioned, hope it's been a wonderful day for you. We are off and running deep into summertime. At least it feels like it as of now. And so that means that, of course, we are not only approaching the All-Star game, but we are approaching the MLB trade deadline. And as this Cubs team gives us so much to talk about, 44-28 on the season and 5.5 game lead atop the Milwaukee Brewers, who will be in town tomorrow night at Wrigley Field. Yes, the Cubs this year, 2025, they are buyers. Now, as you mentioned, or as I mentioned there, Jed Hoyer and the contract extension, I bet that may be coming for him, and he has made himself available to plenty of national outlets. We have had a lot to hear from, and there was one comment that Jed Hoyer made that perhaps out of all that I've heard, whether it be the MLB Network or otherwise, there was one that really made me stop and think about what Jed said. Now, this was one with John Heyman, Joel Sherman last week. I believe they called the podcast The Show. And Joel Sherman asked Jed Hoyer the question, and it was surrounded by not only the last time the Cubs won the World Series, 2016, but of course, that was not like most years when you had a World Series winner. That was one of the greatest storylines in sports, overcoming the 108-year drought when the Cubs got it done in 2016. So Sherman asked Hoyer the question, what kind of pressure do you feel, having not been overly competitive since the last time you won a World Series in 2016, do you feel more pressure to go after it this year because it's been so long?
If there's the right transaction that makes sense to push in, you want to do that. I don't think you can force that to happen. You know, obviously we were super aggressive in 2016, but we also hadn't won a World Series in 108 years, and it felt like that was, you know, the right time to do it. So I think you have to. You have to balance a lot of different factors, but if there's a transaction that you feel like can really help fill a significant hole and change you and really change your fortunes, I think that's something you always have to consider. You know, sustained success is obviously the goal. It's the goal for every team, but you also have to be humble enough to realize like sometimes teams come together really well and sometimes they don't. And, you know, I think that when you 6 weeks from now, if we're at the deadline and things are going well, you have to always evaluate those seasons if things are going well.
It was those two words there that Jed Hoyer used when talking to Joel Sherman and John Heyman. Those two words being sustained success. Now, that certainly is a worthy goal, no matter what team a president or general manager is running. But if you kind of look back to 2016 and consider your ultimate goal being sustained success, not only were they super aggressive with Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer in 2016, but there also was that sense of desperation that we have to get this thing done. No longer. There wasn't a lot of consideration of what was going to happen next year. Now, of course, I think a lot of people thought that there may be a chance to win more than one with that core group in 2016. But that immediate moment in time was about getting it done right then and there. There was no consideration about kicking the can down the road. And so when we talk about sustained success or even quote-unquote windows, teams' windows, I think, are one of the most fickle things in sports. It can often be a mirage. Take example this year. I think that the Atlanta Braves were projected to win 92 games, right? They were supposedly in a window. That team right now, well under 500. Take the Baltimore Orioles, for example. I think that the Orioles thought they were a 90-plus win team, were in the playoffs last year, and they are now just getting in to their window. Maybe a great example of what we saw on the South Side, what happened a few years ago. Remember the White Sox? They were 10 games over 500 in the COVID season and then somehow won 93 games with Tony La Russa in 2021, and we thought we were in the thick of the window. Also, in the blink of an eye, it felt like they imploded. So, ultimately, sustained success is a very, very worthy goal. But predicting the future in today's day and age in sports, especially with the amount of arm injuries, with the kind of free agent that you have or amount of free agents that you have and how things can change. You know, look at the Boston Red Sox and the situation that they found themselves in with Rafael Devers and how they just had to make a change because that relationship was so fractured. A team's window is fun to discuss. It is fun to debate. Sustained success is a very worthy goal. But you also need to recognize when it may be your time, right? Now, this team in itself, not saying that they are this immediate World Series team and they are just one player away, but ultimately you never know how it's going to go in the back half of the season and when you're in that great midst of what a team has in front of them. And so when we discuss windows with this team, I know that there are some young players on this team, but I actually think that you can make the case that it is right now for this team. That it may not even be 2026 for the Cubs. And I'll give you a couple names in just a moment. I was in Iowa over the weekend. I was in Des Moines. And I went and saw an iCubs game on Saturday. We'll talk about that at some point. But, you know, had a nice 5-plus-hour drive back. Family was sleeping. Had a 5- and a 2-year-old both asleep in the car. So I had a good chance. I think I ripped through the entire inside the clubhouse. I've got to listen to a lot of the Cubs game. And Kevin Pallantyne always offers a strong opinion on a call. He kind of, you know, he made the statement that the narrative of the station is that there isn't necessarily a 3 or 4 win window that this team has to win now. And he pushed on Bruce Levine a little bit. And I thought that Bruce had a very, very good response as to why the window may not be as long as some of us think it is.
I would answer by saying, look at the control of your pitching staff. Mm-hmm. Okay. Look at the control of who your pitchers are and how long you have them, okay? Look at your control of your left fielder, your right fielder, both your right fielders, one's a DH. Look at the control of your second baseman. So there's not contract control after next year. So I believe the window is this year and next year. And then the wonky way people look at 2027 and the possible CBA is a limitation for a lot of teams to want to sign people past 2026 or project what they're going to look like as far as the economics of the game.
That was Bruce Levine. You hear the from David Haas from inside the clubhouse. I thought that Bruce laid it out really, really well. And of course, 2027 and the CBA and a potential holdout, especially if they try to put a salary cap on this thing, right? I mean, you talking about throwing a wrench and throwing a crowbar into if you feel like your team has a window, how drastically that could change things. If you want to weigh in, 312-644-6767. So a couple of dates to keep in mind, right? As we know, Jed Hoyer really made his push when he made the push for Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker done after one season. Will he be a Cub after 2025? No one knows, but again, they're going to have to show up with a big amount of money, bigger, far, far bigger than Tom Ricketts has maybe ever even considered for a particular player. But as Bruce mentioned, a couple other players that are done after 2026 contract-wise as of right now, Seiya Suzuki, Ian Happ, Nico Horner, and Jameson Taillon as well. But one little one to keep an eye on, right? Like these aren't the contracts that we may necessarily recognize and think that this could drastically affect us, because one of the things that the Cubs are doing best right now is they are in such a groove when it comes to that bullpen. I mean, over the last couple of months, maybe the best bullpen in all of baseball. Every decision Craig Counsell makes works out, right? Drew Pomeranz was in the minors, and he has not allowed a run since he's come over and joined the Chicago Cubs. So guys that are done after 2025, Drew Pomeranz, Brad Keller, Caleb Thielbar, and Ryan Pressly may have been the best. He may be the best guy as of right now ever since getting blown up against the San Francisco Giants. Veteran guys are up after 2026. This bullpen, as you know, the bullpen always just seems like such a fluid situation from year to year. This looks like they've found a sweet spot in this bullpen in 2025. A lot of those great arms, you may not see them in 2026. So when we talk about the fickle beast that is the window and how you just never know what you can predict, it's best to predict the shortest amount of games in front of you. Because as of now, what do you know about this Cubs team? I can tell you they're in first place. I can tell you at the start of the day today, they have the best record. I checked out the third best record in all of baseball. I believe still the best in run differential. And against the Pittsburgh Pirates, they did not rely on slugging their way to victories. They relied on just playing very good baseball, good bullpen, good defense, good base running, and some timely hitting in the end. John Heyman this morning, though, as I make the case that Jed Hoyer should be about as aggressive as he feels comfortable being, John Heyman with Moline Hall this morning made the case there may not be that ace sitting right out there.
Right now, it's going to be a very big seller's market, meaning the sellers have the big advantage. And as we know, there are right now only four teams that you can name that will be sellers for sure. And it's going to take a while for this to sort itself out. You know, I mean, it changes all the time. I do think the Orioles will probably tend towards selling, which will be a positive for the market because they do have players. They are better than they have performed. It doesn't appear that the Diamondbacks would be now, but could the Cardinals? I mean, they're falling back a little bit now, and they certainly have free agent players as well. Diamondbacks, as I heard you guys talking about, would be a good one because Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen, potential aces. They haven't pitched that way this year, particularly Gallen, but they are potential aces. I think they would be great pickups for teams if they did sell. But at this moment, we basically have the White Sox, the Rockies, the Pirates, the Marlins. That's about it among the sellers. So I think it's going to take a while. I really do.
You know, one of the things, most difficult things in life to do is predict the future. It's why you should never bother doing it and just do the best you can. Prediction in sports, projection, is also one of the most difficult things. If it was easy, a general manager, or president of baseball operations, or for that matter, the NFL draft or the NBA draft, you would never miss. You would never miss on a player if it was that easy to predict. And when it comes to windows, we feel like we can predict it. You don't know injuries. You don't know CBAs. You don't know what lies ahead. So it is easier to predict when you have a much shorter window. So as the Cubs approach the halfway point and we see that they are 44-28, this window, lucky if it's 2026, I say that this window is probably at its best right now. 312-644-6767 if you want to weigh in on that, and we can do it. Also, this take has been rattling around my head a little bit. Dan Orlovsky on ESPN talking about Caleb Williams. It was a slump or jump, I believe was the topic. Yeah, slump or jump. Will he go backwards or will they have a jump forwards? Here's what Dan Orlovsky said.
Oh, I don't think there's a quarterback in the NFL under more pressure than Caleb Williams. The expectations are remarkably high. Ben Johnson, so you imagine like what Sean McVay was for Jared Goff when he went there, or what Mike McDaniel was for Tua when he went there. You can make the case that Caleb's more physically talented than those two guys. And so this is an offensive line that's going to be much improved. They've got guys to throw the football to by the dozens, it feels like. And a scheme that gets every quarterback to play well. Under Ben Johnson in Detroit, they scored 177 touchdowns, punted 154 times. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, like, the expectations should be exponentially high, and Caleb has to meet them.
Let me just say, before we get into this, that I think very highly of Dan Orlovsky. I think he's very, very good. I actually seek out a lot of his film breakdown. This is maybe his worst take. Like, I think Dan may want this one back. I'm going to give Dan a mulligan on this one, is saying that he has the most pressure in the NFL. I last time I checked, like, is Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, are they still in the NFL, the guys that haven't been able to get past Patrick Mahomes, or even a Joe Burrow, another guy that, you know, is recognized as one of the best in the top five, but still hasn't won a ring? And, like, what about Patrick Mahomes? I think that, you know, when you're chasing the GOAT, that seems like it would be a lot of pressure. I'm sorry, is it going to be difficult for Caleb to fill the shoes of, well, Justin Fields or Andy Dalton or Nick Foles or Mitch Trubisky or Mike Glennon or Jay Cutler or Matt Barkley or Brian Hoyer or Jimmy Clausen? Is it those names that's provided so much pressure? Even Brock Purdy. Like, when I see Brock Purdy on the field, I think of a Joe Montana or a Steve Young, the Hall of Famers that are there. When I look at Caleb Williams, I think that he is in a great situation simply because all he has to do is be his best self. Like, that ultimately seems where you'd want to be with this, right? Where you are a quarterback that the only shoes that you have to fill are probably just living up to your own expectations, because Caleb has set some incredibly high expectations. So here he is with a quarterback lineage in Chicago that literally has never had any success, and the Bears have hired the best available quarterback tutor. So does Caleb have pressure? Absolutely. I do not at all envy the situation that Caleb Williams is in, simply being QB1 in market number 3 in the NFL. With how much we love, chew up, polarize, cannot wait to talk about and break down even a lot of these guys. But to think that he has the most pressure in the NFL, he absolutely does, in my opinion. I just think that Caleb is in a beautiful place. If you look across the NFL, right? Is he already expected to win the NFC North? He's not. Is he expected, really going into next year, to be the best quarterback in his draft class? No, I think Jaden Daniels may have more pressure than Caleb Williams has on him right now. Coming up in the show, I'm going to give you my top 5 athletes in Chicago that I believe have the most pressure. I'll give you a hint. Caleb Williams is not one of them. And if you'd like to jump in on the text line, 312-644-6767, the quarterback, or in fact, the top 5 athletes with the most pressure in Chicago to perform, let me know yours, 312-644-6767. Coming up next, we're going to do this. We'll ask our next guest if he thinks the Bears are ready to compete in the NFC North. Mike Golic Jr. joins us next. You're listening to Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
There was a lot of really, really good teaching tape today. Really good teaching tape. And so we're not ready for prime time yet. I think that was loud and clear over the last 3 weeks of play, but that's to be expected as well. We knew that was going to happen, and we'll look to take advantage of training camp to tighten the screws up and be ready to go week one. I mean, Tyreek's got to go down after he catches the ball as well. So there's a lot of things going on with that particular play.
That's your new head coach, Ben Johnson of the Chicago Bears, talking about Caleb Williams. You know, we're in the time of year. What day is it? It's June 16th. I literally just asked Siri, hey, Siri, how many days away are we from Monday, September 8th? I will tell you, we are now 84 days away. Vikings and the Bears at Soldier Field on Monday Night Football. Judson Richards back here with you until 9 o'clock this evening. Now joining us on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline is Mike Golic Jr., co-host of Golic and Golic on FanDuel Sports Network. Download the Circa app today. Mike, so great to talk. Have you convinced yourself yet that the Bears are playoff bound?
You know what? I was late to market on that last year, meaning I was one of the few people that didn't make that prediction. And I think this year I'm going to exercise cautious optimism again, mostly just because, I mean, you guys know the NFC North is just a dogfight right now, the way that the teams in that division are all built. So I am optimistic the Bears will be better. I am unsure in the current NFC North if that's going to be good enough to be a playoff team.
You know, Mike, a week or so ago, I actually went over my expectations for Caleb Williams, and I put numbers to it. But I specifically did numbers that make you say, that's fine, and they didn't pop by any means. Because I'm not necessarily counting on that, and I don't think that at all means that Caleb Williams can't be a great NFL quarterback, right? Like, the goal isn't to have Caleb Williams be the best second-year quarterback. I use Josh Allen to Carson Wentz as an example. He's virtually starting over with how poorly things went last year under a new head coach with a new offense, with really some new pieces around him as well with what happened in the draft. Like, he doesn't need to be the greatest quarterback under the sun by year two for this to all work out between Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams.
No, I completely agree. And I think with the things that we already knew about Caleb Williams coming into the NFL, right, this idea that what an extraordinary playmaker with all this ability, but probably needed to corral some of it at the next level, considering his athletic gifts aren't Jaden Daniels-esque. He's not going to move around that adept and that had that be a big part of his game. And so now you make that twofold with last year where he's constantly under siege. And I mean, you guys know this, that O-line foundation for young quarterbacks can help make or break so many habits with your feet, with your eyes, the way you operate in the pocket. All of those things are what Ben Johnson is tasked with helping rebuild. And it's the reason they went out and made the moves that they did along the interior offensive line, especially to try and make sure that he's going to have the place to develop those healthy habits. And so, yeah, I think he's got the perfect teacher for that. And I give credit to the front office for going out and making the moves that they did. They are not without risk, but they were some of the best moves left on the board. And so I think going and showing your quarterback, we value you this much, we are this invested in your development, is huge for the Bears going into year one of this new regime.
He's Mike Golic Jr. of FanDuel Sports Network. So, Mike, what do you make of what they did in the interior of the offensive line? Joe Tooney to Drew Dolman to Jonah Jackson left to right. I mean, how serious of an upgrade is that?
It's massive. And listen, again, all of them like come with their own little buyer beware, right? Like, you know, Joe Tooney is certainly a guy that's getting up there in age a little bit, but coming off a season where he had, in my mind, one of the more impressive individual performances along the offensive line and selfless that we've seen in quite some time, going out and stepping up to the plate at left tackle that had been a turnstile for that team all season long. Jonah Jackson comes with the institutional knowledge of Ben Johnson's system. Again, last year marred by injury, you know, poor play in some spots that I went back and watched a lot when that move first went down and was expecting so much worse than I saw based on what people had said. I think that's this guy that can still play some high-level ball, but more importantly for this situation, and I would tell people, go look at how important Tyler Biadasz was last year, even outside of just his play, to the development of Jaden Daniels, because he understood and knew exactly what Dan Quinn wanted out of an offense, understood and came with that leadership and cachet of what they wanted to instill in terms of team culture along that position group. And so I think that's sort of that situation for Jonah. And then, listen, Drew Dahlman is, you know, not a, you know, top five center, top 10 center in the league. He's probably closer on the back end of that, but an extremely good athlete, a guy who's incredibly coachable, a guy who worked really well for one of the best run blocking offensive lines in the sport, and is going to have those veteran presence along the side of him there too. And so I thought, especially in the market, you know, Drew was going to be a guy that we knew had some sort of some market this offseason, because that position is one down the spine of offenses and defenses are very in vogue right now. But he's a talented enough dude to where with the rest of that group, I think you've got the potential building blocks for the foundation that makes the entire Ben Johnson experience go like we saw in Detroit for the last number of years.
Yeah, Mike, I call it offseason. Well, I call it podium theater, number one, right? Like I love some good podium talk. And then the offseason podium theater is that much better because we don't have games, right? So, you know, then you had Caleb Williams and the Seth Wickersham book. And so Ben had to address it. And then Caleb had to address it. And this is, right, this is our theater when we don't have the gridiron on Sundays. And Ben Johnson is very, very good at it, right? Like you lean in when he speaks, which I think makes him a great communicator, or at least signs of it. What did you think of this hire? Do you think we've gotten too excited about podium theater and just enjoying hearing the man speak? Or do you think that, you know, you think that Ben Johnson is the man to change the fortunes, especially a quarterback play and offense for the Bears?
You know, I think a lot of it is just the shock, right? Like, most of us were not well acquainted with the sound of Ben Johnson's voice from the time in Detroit. And like,
because Dan's got a great one.
Understandable. And if I, you know, first guy off the bus rules, right? If I'm doing that, I want Dan Campbell as my first guy off the bus. No disrespect to Ben Johnson. He's just, you know, he's the NFL cage matching champion for coaches until further notice.
Right.
But I think with Ben, you know, part of it was that it was, hey, we had had this impression of him based on, well, these reports of how interviews had gone for him in the prior years when he had chosen to remain in Detroit and what that connoted. And all of a sudden he comes out brimming with this confidence and chirping Matt LaFleur in his opening press conferences. And so I think that's part of it in one way. But no, he does acquit himself very well. And I think for someone who is renowned for what he's done as an offensive play caller in the last number of years, that's sort of the like Kevin O'Connell factor, right? You hear the way he talks about football and you go, oh yeah, that makes sense why quarterbacks would find safe harbor with this guy, because he's able to communicate concepts in a way that these guys understand. He's able to meet them where they are. And so I do think coming from that coaching tree, especially like we talk all about the McVay guys, and I'm very excited to see what the Dan Campbell coaching tree looks like as Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson get their cracks at being a head coach. Because you come from a place that was really healthy in all of the soft skill areas. Ben Johnson can call the hell out of some plays, but the soft skill stuff that you learn being around a Dan Campbell who's so masterful at that, I think is what really carries the day. And it's the hardest part of evaluating future head coaches. It's the stuff you don't have to see them practically apply until all of a sudden they are in front of that podium giving you those quotes.
He's Mike Golic Jr., co-host of Golic and Golic on FanDuel Sports Network. Gets to hang out with his old man each and every day, which is pretty cool if you're someone out there that likes your dad, as Mike, I'm assuming you do, enjoy time with your father, right? I'm sure there's days where you're like, oh, dad.
Well, it's, you know, it's just having to help him set up all the technology. And listen, we're coming off Father's Day weekend. The guy jokes, he's like, why don't you get me anything or make me anything like you used to in grade school? And so I gave him a macaroni necklace and said, number one dad today. And all of a sudden, that's not good enough because it's not cooked. I just don't know what he wants anymore. It's hard to keep up with the man that has everything.
Yeah, you're holding his hand 5 days a week. You think that would be enough for Father's Day?
You would think. You would think.
So, Mike, did you know much about Ozzie Trapillo out of Boston College, right? Is this a guy? And, you know, speaking of Ben Johnson, Braxton Jones has been out due to injury, right? And Braxton has been serviceable, but I do think he's been good enough to kind of fairly lose his job when he returns, right? Like, I think he's done enough where I don't think, and I think this is an area where head coach may need to be careful with his locker room and the message that he sends that if you get injured, you can lose your job. I think Braxton should get an opportunity. He's earned it, but Ozzie Trapillo is getting a lot of time into left tackle. Do you know much about the guy out of Boston College?
Yeah, no, like first and foremost, I've been amazed over the years. Like I'm a Notre Dame fan, which means I grew up watching a lot of Notre Dame Boston College games. And the O-line tradition and pedigree at that school through eras, through different coaching staffs is really exemplary. It just seems to be stuck in the walls around there that they're consistently going to have big, tough, smart offensive linemen. And so I do think those factors are important when you're talking about guys that can come in and play early in the NFL. Are you at a place that stress technique that put the onus on the line to not just go out there and get in the way some of these spread systems do, but really put it on your back to run downhill the way Boston College wanted to. And so I got to watch a bunch of him leading up into the draft. The thing that stuck out to me is he is not the most athletically gifted guy in the world. He's more of a waistbender than a knee bender, to borrow like the old, you know, scouting terms. Meaning, you know, he's not going to be the guy that can drop his ass in a moment's notice and get up under a defender or anything like that. But he plays really well within his own body. He's incredibly technically sound. He's where he needs to be on time in his pass sets. And so I think guys that understand their own limitations and play within them, to me, are some of my favorite guys to watch and ones that I think have a really high floor coming into their experience in the NFL.
Mike, we've got a guy coming to town named Aaron Rodgers. He's claimed to have owned the Chicago Bears in the past, but the Pittsburgh Steelers will be coming to Soldier Field. What kind of season, what do you think Aaron Rodgers has left in the tank? I will say, if you think Aaron Rodgers was completely washed in New York, you should go back and check the stats in 2024. They're probably a lot better than you think. But are you expecting much from Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers?
I mean, not to keep harping on, like, you know, the big guys of it all, but I'm expecting as much as the Steelers' offensive line allows from Aaron Rodgers. Like, I don't think we're going to get back to the MVP stuff anymore. I think we are past that to some extent. You know, some of the mobility has slowed down a little bit for Aaron Rodgers, really contact-averse at this point in his career, which you can understand. I'm 35, and I don't want to have a strong breeze hit me outside. I couldn't imagine getting hit by the kind of guys that we have in the NFL on defense right now. But I think with Aaron Rodgers, all that leads back to the difficulty with the Jets was always going to be the O-line was a work in progress, and they tried to plug those holes with older guys that ultimately didn't pan out. Injury undermined that position group. The Steelers' offensive line has some good young parts on there. You know, you get Troy Fautanu back from injury. Zach Frazier was a really nice addition to that group when he was on the field last year as a young guy. You know, you need Broderick Jones to all of a sudden have the lights come on consistently for him. But if that group can protect Aaron Rodgers and help supplement the run game, then I know Arthur Smith said we're going to probably not over-index on that when we've got a future Hall of Famer at quarterback again. We're going to air this ball out and make use of that. But this is going to have to be a well-rounded offense to make the best use of Aaron Rodgers in 2025. And so I think, like always, I mean, Mike Tomlin, the floor is you're a playoff team every year. You're going to be at wild card weekend. If the offensive line can come together, stay healthy all season, and keep Aaron Rodgers upright and comfortable in the pocket, this could be a team that finally gets past that. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender yet. That would really have to be like some development that's hard to foresee in 1 year of a guy coming in. But I think they can at least get over that wild card weekend sticking point if everything goes well and that group in front of Aaron's healthy.
I have this fear when he arrives in Chicago. I call it my Toby Keith fear. He ain't as good as he once was, but he's as good once as he ever was. And I just fear that it could come on that Sunday against the Bears. Mike, last one for you. I just want to ask you about J.J. McCarthy, the Minnesota Vikings. Is Kevin O'Connell that good? Is KO that good where he can just swap out Sam Darnold, a retread, and then bring in virtually a rookie with never having a snap in the NFL and pick up somewhere near where they left off as a double-digit win team?
Yeah.
Yes?
I am inclined to believe so. I mean, the fact that last offseason, sitting around one of the most obvious takes was, if Sam Darnold's got anything left, we'll for sure see it here because it's Kevin O'Connell, ends up becoming a tree that bears the kind of fruit that it did, then yeah, I'm pretty confident in his ability to, especially with a young player who, J.J. McCarthy, we talked about this, Caleb Williams is a perfect example, like the healthy habits thing that we talked about. J.J. McCarthy going back to Michigan has been a quarterback in such optimal situations that we were like, all right, we don't really know what to make of him. They never put a ton on his shoulders at Michigan because he was standing back in clean pockets getting to let it rip because he had a run game supporting him. He had all the stuff that he's going to have there. So it's not like you're going to have to coach a bunch of bad habits out of the guy. You're going to have to coach some other other parts of his game in there that are just going to need more reps in order to really see him develop into the maybe more consistent passer that you'd want out of a quarterback that's your first rounder and franchise guy. But, you know, they reinvested in their interior offensive line, which was towards the end of the season, the people that wanted to really throw a lot of dirt on Sam Darnold, his performance, need to also examine what that pass protection looked like late into the year. Once they got into the postseason, that game against the Rams, that was a lot of it driven by the fact that they just couldn't protect for the amount of time they needed for that offense to function. And so they go out, they add to that this offseason, they draft well to that this offseason. And then Kevin O'Connell is, I think, one of the best communicators and offensive play callers that we have in the NFL right now. And so you combine that with a guy, J.J. McCarthy, that is talented and just not as seasoned. And I do think they've got a good shot to once again be in the mix because of the strength of the rest of that roster.
Mike, give me one team. You don't have to explain it, but who takes the North?
Oof, I will go with, I'll still go with Detroit. I think the culture stuff is going to matter, and there's enough talent and continuity there. The draft picks, Tate Ratledge being the draft pick when ultimately you got a retirement in the middle of that offensive line, is going to end up paying huge dividends for them. So I'll still side with Detroit.
Mike, great to talk. Thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thanks, guys.
All right, good stuff. Mike Golic Jr. there, co-host of Golic and Golic on FanDuel Sports Network. So he says it's still the Detroit Tigers. That's, you know, that's interesting, and that says a lot about Dan Campbell. I don't think I could go with the Lions. Now, mainly it's probably because I'm hoping that Ben Johnson is just that spectacular, and really Aaron Glenn as well, right? And when you've got two coordinators that were wanted in that fashion, can you really just continue to churn through and continue to develop a new offensive defense coordinators and keep it going? Let's not forget Frank Ragnow retired, right? They've had another major hit as well, trying to think for the Lions. I don't know. I just find it incredibly difficult with the Green Bay Packers making the playoffs regularly. And then you got the Minnesota Vikings as well. But as much as I think highly of Kevin O'Connell as well, I just don't know. What did they win? 14 games last year? J.J. McCarthy's never had a snap in the NFL. I mean, he's that good at the system already? I don't know. I wouldn't say it's wide open, but I definitely think that the Bears are going to have a fighting chance this year. As I asked Siri, we are 84 days away, believe it or not. Yeah, believe it or not. I know, it's kind of far. 84 days away, Vikings and the Bears at Soldier Field, that week one Monday Night Football game against them Vikings. Well, coming up, what we can only assume was America's most boring podcast. Matt Eberflus talked about Caleb Williams and watching film. We will unpack that next. Thanks for joining us on Monday. You're listening to the
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Score.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
All right, with you all the way until 9 o'clock this evening. Thanks for joining us on 670 The Score. Coming up in just about 10 minutes, Alex Cohen of the Marquee Sports Network will talk some Cubs with us. We'll go over what he's been most impressed about this season, what maybe the Cubs may want to consider besides just a starting pitcher as they make their way through the trade deadline. That's coming up in just about 10 minutes. So, have you heard this audio today? I found this to be, I don't know if I would say it's interesting because Matt Eberflus is speaking, but the new Cowboys defensive coordinator was on the Doomsday podcast. Seems fitting, as I know Ed Werder of ESPN, formerly of ESPN, is doing the talking, and Ed was a longtime beat writer of the Dallas Cowboys. Ed is very close in with the Jerry Jones family. So I'm assuming this is connected to the Cowboys in some way, shape, or form. Otherwise, why would Matt Eberflus be on a podcast? But he was asked about the whole Caleb Williams not being shown how to watch film situation. Here's what was said.
One of the experiences you had last year in Chicago was you had Hard Knocks on your campus and in your building. And it seemed to me, as a viewer, that you spent an inordinate amount of time, given that you're a defensive coach, or that's your background, with the number one pick in the draft quarterback, Caleb Williams. And yet recently, Caleb Williams was quoted criticizing the fact that nobody watched film with him last year. You're the head coach. How do you respond to that?
Well, first and foremost, Hard Knocks, they do a great job. They really do. They stay out of the way.
Because they're going to be here this year.
They are. And I've been telling the whole staff up there that they do a wonderful job. They stay out of the way, very professional. But back to your other question about, you know, the film watching and all that, I would say this, that, you know, in the development of the quarterback position and really all positions, at my time at the Bears, we've always had daily coached film sessions. That was out through the entire year. So that's what I observed, and that's where it was.
It was interesting that Nick Saban, who you played for and was seen, made the suggestion to any head coach should develop a unique rapport with his quarterback, right. And it seemed from what we saw that that was certainly happening.
Yeah, and again, that's really all I have to say about it, but yeah, that's where it is.
First of all,
sorry Ed brought that up.
That's where it is. Sorry, I thought that when he says that's where it is, which is such a Matt Eberflus saying, like, where what is? I don't know what you're talking about when you say these things.
I don't know. What's up yours?
Whoa, hey, that was, okay, that may have been Matt Eberflus' best podium moment in the back and forth there with Jason Leisure. I think he won one of, like, his last 11 games, and all of a sudden he was all high and mighty at the podium there, but imagine interviewing Ben Johnson and Matt Eberflus, okay? And you didn't see any of their resumes. It was like, I want you to interview this guy and then that guy to be your football coach. But you don't know anything about their background. Imagine talking to Ben Johnson and then imagine talking to Matt Eberflus. I know that that is just an incredible oversimplification between the two of them. But the job of coaching is a what? You are a communicator. So your ability to communicate, like imagine in that interview, if you ask Ben Johnson, tell me about the best day of your life. And then you ask Matt Eberflus to tell you about the best day of his life. You're like, I don't even know what that man was talking about. It was also the most uninspiring thing I'd ever heard. No one, at least for me, when I saw the watching film thing for Caleb Williams, wasn't shown how to watch film. It was never about that someone wasn't available to watch film with him. It was very much of the work smart versus work hard. How do you properly watch film, right? Are you watching more first downs? Are you watching more third downs? Was there a specific quarter? Was there specific plays or systems, right? More about when Cole Kmet was on the field, just simply about working smart and not hard. That's where Caleb Williams was missing, the technique of getting it done right. You know, Caleb Williams could watch 3 hours of the game five nights a week. Is that the best way for him to be, or should you focus on the certain aspect of where you need to be better?
Yeah, that's, I'm not going to comment on that.
Thank God. Promise me you wouldn't comment on that. I don't know if Ben Johnson's going to be great. At least we don't have to listen to Matt Eberflus anymore, except for this segment. We made you do it this segment. What did he say at the end of it? And that's all we're going to do about that? All we're going to go about that? It's just the rambling of that man. It is no surprise that what, like by week three or week four, they were knocking down the door of Shane Waldron to be better. And then Jalen Johnson lost it after the game. It's just, let's just take this moment to celebrate that he is now on another team and no longer here in Chicago, because it just was another reminder that he's a poor communicator. I don't know why Ed Werder would subject himself to this, but he went ahead and did it anyways. 312-644-6767. Coming up in a little bit, I want to get it on the text line. Remember, Dan Orlovsky said that Caleb Williams had the most pressure of any quarterback in the NFL. I vehemently disagree. But how about in Chicago? All sports here in Chicago. What athlete has the most pressure to perform. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, I'm going to give you my top five Chicago athletes that have the most pressure on them to perform. But coming up next, what areas can the Cubs look to improve at the trade deadline? We'll ask Marquis Alex Cohen. Coming up next on 6-7 The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.